we have congresswoman, we have senator. I know that Andrew Bernard is patiently waiting. I know you have to leave very soon. Yeah. But Andrew Bernard is a candidate for New York State Senate. He is running together with Rose Barkan against Mari Golden. But first, it looks like it's going to be Democratic primaries. Senator Cynthia Felder represents large part of 45th Assembly District, which is Shipsa Bay and Midwood in our district. And it's also district of Senator Simcha Felder. Many of you are living in the senatorial district. And he is first time here, hopefully not last time. Please welcome Senator.
Good evening, everybody. And I want to thank Ari and Margarita, and of course, all of you for giving me a few minutes to speak. As Congresswoman Clark mentioned, we had the distinct pleasure and honor to serve together in the City Council for many years, and we did a lot of good things. We did a lot of good things together, and of course, Councilman Mark Traeger now is in the Council and really making sure that New Yorkers are protected, especially in issues that are of most importance when it comes to education. Right, because everything starts at education. I'm going to try to focus what I want to share with you, which is the emphasis on constituent services. I know that my colleagues in government feel the same way, but since I got this shot, I'm going to try to take ownership of this issue. I can talk to you in greater detail about legislation in the state in Albany, but I would prefer just making some brief remarks about constituent services. Anyone who's familiar with my office or with my mailings will tell you that there is no other office, including of my colleagues. I'm not going to say that where they are, that they're less, but I would say no one can beat me, at least, on constituent services.
That's a challenge.
I will say, I'll take the challenge any day. I would say they do an excellent job, but our office is busy, open all the time. We have hours on Sunday in Borough Park. We have hours on late Thursday nights in Flatbush. But let me just talk about issues that are really what I think is the bread and butter important. The fact is that it's becoming harder and harder and harder for New Yorkers to survive. We are overtaxed, over-ticketed, and over-fined. I can give you examples of each one, and that's what I wanted to mention. When we were in the City Council together, Congresswoman Clark and myself passed a bill to give people a five-minute grace period. The city used to issue all close to 300,000 tickets between the first minute that the sign on the street went into effect. If it said no parking 10 o'clock to 11:30, at between 10 and 10:01, close to 300,000 tickets used to get issued in New York City every year. And we passed a simple bill. It was called a five-minute grace period. All it said was that people are humans, they're not robots, and you can't expect people, if they're parked legally, to suddenly snap in 1 minute. So for the first 5 minutes, when you park legally, they can't give you a ticket. Another bill that we passed that now is in effect is the sanitation summonses. It used to be that they were able to give out tickets for sanitation offenses 24 hours a day, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day, whether you were home, whether you were at work, it didn't matter. Somebody walked by, dropped a tissue or a gum wrapper in front of your house, you got a $90, $100 ticket. Out of the question. We changed the law. Simple. We changed the law. Made it just like stores have 2 hours a day where if your properties are kept clean, the assumption is you're keeping them clean at the other parts of the day. So 2 hours a day from 8 to 9 in the morning and from 6 to 7 in the evening, there's an onus on property owners to keep their property clean. I'm not showing off. We call it in Yiddish seichel, common sense. It's common sense that people who are living in the city, you pay your taxes, you try to survive. You shouldn't be hounded day in and day out. And now, I know some of you may find it interesting how I became obsessed with the bag tax, but we fought City Hall, and I'm very proud of it. If you think that there's no problems in the world other than plastic bags, that's what you would think. That the minute we get rid of plastic bags, the Messiah's going to come. Okay? Crazy. Crazy. There are no other problems in the world besides plastic bags.
Let's get rid of those plastic bags.
Do the analysis.
Messiah, bring the Messiah.
And if you go into the details, if you ask the environmentalists that will be honest with you, they will tell you that plastic bags account for 0.5% of the waste that goes into the water stream. So I'm not telling you that we should waste. Who throws out plastic bags? You use them over and over and over again. So all that we're doing is charging people and saying, if you're going to go ahead and pay, don't pay for these bags. You're going to go to the supermarket and pay for bags. So I'm sorry I'm excited about it because it drives me nuts. Knowing that people are trying to work, trying to survive, have a family, do whatever it is that you're doing, and being busy with this stuff. That's not the stuff we should be busy with. So we just had an issue on Kings Highway. They wanted to put bus lanes in Kings Highway. It's like somebody is spending time figuring out how to make our life miserable. How can you figure out? Oh, I have a great idea. Put a bus lane on Kings Highway. Because there's not enough traffic as it is. Put a bus lane on it. So that they should park on the side street and you can go across and it's going to, again, everything's going to be wonderful.
I don't want to hear it.
Our heroes, Congresswoman Yvette Clark, Councilman Traeger, and I have tried to help out as well. But we fought for you because it bothers us. It bothers us. I'm sorry.
Councilman Deutsch was.
Councilman Deutsch as well. But I'm talking about the people that are here. Councilman Deutsch was here. I would talk about him, absolutely. Absolutely. He was at the forefront. So what I want to say to you is that we have all types of services. You don't have to have a problem to come to my office. We have Medicare seminars for people who are turning 65 this year. It's a great seminar, it's free. We have state control of the NAPLE unclaimed funds. If you want to check it, we check it for you. We have free mammograms. There's a, the American Cancer Society brings a mobile truck. And you can have tests done right in front of our office. It's free of charge. And no post mammograms, MetroCards. There's so much stuff. I'm impressed with myself. Free legal assistance. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is the only reason that we're in office, Congresswoman Clark, myself, Councilman Traeger, and other electors, we're here to serve you. You pay my salary. That's how it is. You allow me to serve. It's an honor for me to have the ability and the pleasure of serving you. If we don't do a good job, throw us out of office. But I'm telling you that I believe that we are trying our best and we do a very good job at it. So, and we will continue to do a good job at it as long as God gives me the ability to do so. Thank God, a bunch of children, a bunch of grandchildren. My mother never lets me talk about numbers. She says, "An Ainhara, Kanahara, don't talk, don't say anything." So all I would say to you is that I wish for you what I wish for myself and for the people I love most. I wish you good health. And there used to be a radio show for those of you that might remember Art Raymond. He used to say, "I wish you good health and happiness and time to enjoy it." Thank you very, very much.
A few minutes to ask questions. I have one question. This is so-called elephant in the room, but since it's all over newspapers, all over TV, everywhere, I cannot escape asking the same question. Because as you probably know, we have 63 senators today in New York State Senate. And after the last two special elections, Democrats have numerical majority, 32 Democrats and 31 Republicans. And we know that Sipra is conservative Democrat. And I know that you said that you report only to God, your family, and your constituents.
No, it was my wife. God, my wife. And somebody else told me that my wife comes before God.
Okay, so could you address this issue?
So something, I appreciate the question, and I will tell you what I've said, and this goes back to my years in the city council. I'm a registered Democrat, and I'm proud to be a registered Democrat. Anyone in New York City who wants to participate in the electoral process, for the most part, without exception, if you're not a registered Democrat, you can't participate in the primaries. There are very few districts in New York, and certainly in New York City, where you have the opportunity to have an effect on citywide elections unless you're a registered Democrat. I'm not preaching that being a Democrat or being a Republican or being a conservative or whatever else defines the person. So I'm proud to be a registered Democrat. I'm also proud to tell you that I am not loyal to any party. I'm telling you that. I'm saying it in front of in front of the flag, okay? I'm telling you a fact. The fact is that over the years, I have found most New Yorkers, at least in the neighborhoods that I represent, are more concerned about getting services that are deserved, more concerned about neighborhoods being secure and there being the government that represents your needs rather than a political philosophy. So I say point blank, for those of you that are loyal Democrats that believe that the only person that can represent you is somebody that's a loyal Democrat, I'm not that guy. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not a loyal Republican. I'm not a loyal liberal. I'm not a loyal conservative. I'm loyal to the constituents that I represent. That I will tell you. And for the most part, on issues, there are some issues that the Democrats are right and the Republicans are wrong. There are some issues the Republicans are wrong and the Democrats are right. Did I just say the same thing?
Yes.
I was just trying to see whether you were listening. The truth is, I was confused, but you know what I mean, right? So I would just say to you that in the state Senate, at this point in time, to go ahead and move, even if I thought it was the right thing, it would turn things upside down in the Albany. Some of you may say it's upside down as it is, but I don't think it's the right decision. So I am not telling you that I feel committed to any political party. I am not committed to any political party. I am committed to doing what I believe is best for you, and I think I've tried to do that so far and will continue to do so. I'll take you. I think you raised this issue.
The state standards in terms of yeshiva education.
Yes. So, what's your name?
Seidenberg, Bob Seidenberg. Simcoe Rubin.
Simcoe Rubin. Okay. And I think all of you know Bob. But the question was about yeshiva education. For those of you that are not familiar with this issue, let me clarify the issue. If you go on to the Senate website and read the legislation, you will find specifically that we passed a bill or a portion of a bill that mandates that yeshivas provide a fundamental education. Some people are spinning the story and spinning the story that somehow giving non-public schools the ability not to provide a good education. Just the opposite. There were many schools that were not providing a basic fundamental education. So the question was, how do we develop a roadmap, a template for them to be able to do so? The language in the law that's 100 years old was vague. And what we did is we inserted very clear definitions. One, basic four subjects that are so elementary, writing, reading, arithmetic, and we added history and sciences as well, are mandated if you want to be a school. There are people that homeschool, okay? But if you're a school and you're getting state money, you have to provide those elementary educations. And more importantly, what I would say is the law that was changed says that we should be more concerned about outcomes than hours that people spend. So when I was a student in school, I had, they called this in Yiddish, I did not have the patience to sit. Yeah, kids that graduate high school and get early entry into college that are brilliant. I'm not one of them. Would you say that that student should stay in school for 16 hours a day anyway? A waste of time. On the other hand, you want to make sure that all children get a basic education, and that's what the law does. You can read it. I'm happy to discuss it with you.
How about standards for teachers? Are teachers going to, in the yeshivas, are they going to have state certification?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer.
Should they have it?
I'm sorry?
Should they have it?
I don't know if they have to be licensed. I think that they have to be competent to teach the subject.
They should be licensed.
No, that doesn't work.
Okay.
They should be licensed.
You ask me, and I respectfully disagree as well.
They should be.
I didn't hear what you said.
Certified teachers.
Why is that possible? Why is that?
Certified teachers.
I'm asking you a question. Do you believe that somebody can provide a competent education without being a certified teacher? So you obviously don't believe that.
Let me answer that question.
Only from experience.
Okay, now look at me when I went to Beit Yaakov as a kid.
I take exceptions. So you can apologize for that.
But, you know, my background is, you know, Holocaust survivor, Jewish education, so whatever. So thank you for sharing my background. I've also met many of these students, yeshivas, that ended up going to special programs that I had many years ago to help the kids learn. It's a crisis, and it's a culture crisis, I think, within the community. I don't think it's a matter of just, you're going to pass legislation and the problem is going to be solved. I think it's within the community
I never said that you pass legislation and the problem is solved. Since when did passing a bill ever solve a problem entirely?
Never.
He asked me a question. I thought the question was he wanted to understand what the element that I passed, what it does. And I respectfully tell you that when I was in yeshiva, we were able to get teachers to come after a full day in school to teach as yeshivas. The yeshivas cannot get public school teachers coming into the yeshivas anymore. They don't want to come in. That's the fact. So the question is, how are they?
You're not being paid. You're not being paid.
What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Do you know this? You know. Okay, so I don't want to argue.
My daughter,
with experts, I don't
my
know.
Daughter is graduating, my daughter is graduating high school.
Yes.
Okay? The education that she got.
Where did she go to school?
She went to Shalhev.
Did she get a decent education?
I'll put it to you like this. The education that she got in high school
is
nothing like the education I got in high school.
And
I went to a
I think it's really odd to me how concerned everyone is about the education in yeshivas. It really ought to be, I'll tell you. Let me finish my thought. It's because when I had other issues that affect was supposed to improve yeshiva education and help kids in yeshiva, I didn't hear anything from anybody. Suddenly, something people read in the paper. Did you read the bill? I didn't expect you to. Read the bill, and then I'm giving you a commitment to come back and discuss it. Well, at the minimum, one thing is clear. If any candidate came to speak to you who was not afraid to disagree with you, I respect your opinion. And let me tell you, this is great stuff. This is the best thing that I've had in a long time, because this is therapy. I love you all and respect you all and look forward to seeing you again. Thank you very much.